Hi, I'm John McTiernan. I directed the film. I'm going to be watching it, and hopefully I'll come up with some recollections of what it was like to make it. This little print legend on the front of the movie, a lot of people have accused us of having written somehow after the fact. It wasn't true. We wrote it with the original script. It was part of the original concept. It's a sort of way to say that, to wink and say to the audience, this is all real, this all actually secretly happened, which was actually part of the legend that went with Tom Clancy's book, was that he got these stories from real submarine captains and this actually happened. I shot this stuff in Alaska, in the Valdez Inlet.
Joe Talladrega, Deverish Captain.
Talladrega.
This is our submarine mock-up, which was real. It wasn't. That's not a computer thing. That's two 350-foot-long barges with a lot of steel built on the top of it. The hardest part about the barges was that the insurance company insisted that we work with it within Los Angeles Harbor, which is not only sunny, it also is dreadfully flat. So that was a little tricky. It's a drawing of the Battle of the Nile. I didn't know what it was at the time. I've since read enough about that, the history of all that stuff, that I actually recognize it now. Fred Dalton Thompson, who is now Senator Thompson. I'd love to find out from, just get a reaction from a neutral audience, how much they pick up out of this opening sequence. Do they learn that this guy is an academic? And I kept putting in things hoping that if I surrounded him with enough stuff, it would make sense. Oh, this is my one controversy with with Tom Clancy was that in order to explain that he would lived in England, I gave him an English wife. To explain where he was coming from at the beginning without having to have a lot of dialogue about it. And Tom wasn't happy about that, but I guess he eventually forgave me. This is actually Los Angeles Airport.
Can I get you anything, sir?
No, thank you very much.
You know, if you do try and get some sleep, the flight will go a lot faster.
I can never sleep on a plane. Turbulence.
Pardon?
Turbulence. Solar radiation heats the Earth's crust. Warm air rises, cool air descends. Turbulence. I don't like that.
Well, try to get some sleep anyway.
Alec and I had a long discussions about... because he liked playing far-out aggressive characters. And I had to convince him in this movie to be a simple, straightforward, normal guy. To not be interesting. To be content to be a normal kid. It was very hard for him.
Dr. Ryan...
that actually is CIA headquarters or whether it's a university.
Jack, boy, get yourself in here. Jesus, you look like hell.
Thank you very much, Abner.
Want coffee?
I think I need some coffee.
I'm not going to ask you how your flight went. When's the last time you got some sleep?
Oh, I don't know. This thing's still on London time. Milk and sugar?
Milk and sugar. So how's Caroline? Last time I saw her was at your granddad's place in Maine, wasn't it?
This is a tricky structure of scene, and I had... I confess, I still don't feel comfortable with it. What I wanted to do was have two guys... pass small talk until it became clear that there was something serious waiting in the wings. And the hardest part was to not play the small talk, to not play the small talk like you meant it, to play it like you have something else on your mind.
British intelligence obtained these pictures 2 days ago.
Again, I don't know whether it worked or not.
Typhoon class.
Big son of a bitch.
12 meters longer than the standard Typhoon, 3 meters wider. Captain's name is Ramius.
One of yours?
Yeah, I did the bio on him last year. He's taken out the lead boat in each new subclass for the last 10 years. Fairly good political connections. Trained most of their attack boat skippers. The Russians call him Vilnius Nastavnik.
I specifically wanted to use James Earl Jones in this part because I've sort of got a notion that he's... he's the American father figure. He's the most trusted man in the country somehow. The most righteous man. And I really wanted a sense that Jack Ryan's boss was the best boss you could have. And that he was absolutely trustworthy. Part of what we had to do going into this was, since we were talking about the CIA, we had to change the... or make it clear going in that this wasn't the CIA of the James Bond movies. That this was a more realistic CIA, and that the people who work there are, you know, decent American civil servants for the most part. So that was part of trying to make that clear right at the beginning. James Earl was important for that. This is one of our first subs shots. This is the first one we did.
You hear?
We had a lot of difficulty with the subs, how to visualize something in an environment that by definition you can't see because it's dark.
Maybe, it's buried in surface clutter?
Yes.
I should go to SAPS?
Correct!
I insisted and took some flack for the fact that it was, that what I did is I shot the models in smoke rather than underwater. I had a horror that the submarines would look like, you know, World War II model submarines. I shot this with this scene with a snorkel, which is a tube that came right down into the middle of the scene, so that we played the entire thing continuously. And we could pan back and forth between two guys who were actually sitting right next to each other.
You could always ask him about Pavarotti.
Cop, we don't have time for sea stories. I was right in the middle of teaching Seaman Beaumont here the intricacies of modern sonar.
Yeah, and I...
That's Larry Ferguson as the writer.
The jungle.
Cobb, please.
Come on, Cobb, tell me.
Okay. Fine. Go ahead.
Seaman Jones here, he's into music in a big way. He figures this whole boat is basically just his own personal private stereo set. So he gets this piece of Pavarotti.
It was Paganini.
Whatever.
It was Paganini.
Look, this is my story.
Okay? Tell it right, cop. Pavarotti is a tenor. Paganini was a composer.
Okay. So he's got this music, and he's got it out in the water, and he's listening to it on his headsets, and he's just happy as a clam.
Hmm.
And all hell.
Now, Larry Ferguson wrote this story for himself. Actually, wrote a couple of them, and I think he's still teasing me about the fact that I cut one of them out.
What do I do?
I got it. Con sonar, new contact bearing 097. Designate contact
number Sierra 35.
Captain, yep, what do you got, Jones?
Distant contact, probably submerged. It's
I got those glasses for Scott.
We're coming out of the bar. Could be a missile boat out of Poliani.
The whole notion was to be able to let guys wear glasses on screen and yet still be able to see their eyes. That's about the only thing that looks dated right now is looking at those glasses. They look silly. Except actually, that is what often guys like that wear. There's a very large Russian immigrant community in Los Angeles, and that's where we got these kids. They were all Russians, hadn't been in the United States for more than a year or two. All spoke Russian, all had Russian dentistry and habits and manners. We had to teach them to behave like sailors, and we used the American sailors to help do that. But I tried something here because I wanted to seem like a secret conversation. I used, instead of a long lens to get a very pair of tight shots for this pair of close-ups, put a very wide lens very, very close. In fact, it was so close that the two actors couldn't see each other when they talked to each other. But to get a sense that this was a secret conversation. Again, I don't know whether it worked or not, but...
Stoti Dalich. Мои обязанности входят на наблюдение, на поведение членов экипажа, товарищ капитан.
I hope it's not too obvious, but Sean is not entirely a linguist. He indulged us on this and did the best he could, but we kept reducing the Russian lines and thinning them out to make them simpler for him.
i on sabrali k nam jesto.
Nazivajma je pa evrijski Armageddon. And the seventh angel bought war.
This was a change of language. I'd love to take credit for it, but it's actually in Fred Zinnemann's movie in Judgment of Nuremberg. They zoom in on Maximilian Schell's mouth, and all of a sudden he somewhere casually changes from German to English. And they come back out and continue the scene in English, and I just ignore it from then on.
You wrote and underlined these passages?
No. This book belonged to my wife. I keep it for sentimental value.
I'm sorry, Comrade Captain. Your wife was a beautiful woman. Her death was unfortunate. I'm only doing my job. It is my responsibility.
Part of Sean's and my discussion in this was to get him to wear a wig again. He'd, for nearly 10 years before this movie, he'd kind of insisted on letting the world know that he was bald. I guess by the time he got to this, he was getting old enough to say, okay, he was in an odd way becoming less vain. It was okay if he would participate in the artifice of, and in fact, he designed this hairpiece himself. He wanted to look like, Samuel Beckett, the Irish playwright. So it's all spiky and sharp gray in the front. Something that Sean did very well here was foretelling or warning, at least. I don't think you know as you watch the scene, but afterwards it becomes, I hope, clear that he was reluctant about killing him. And that's an important story point. Because if we see that Sean is reluctant to kill even this smarmy little secret policeman, then we share a secret knowledge with Alec Baldwin that this man is decent and may actually be trying to defect. So that's why this scene and how Sean behaved was very important.
Captain, this is an historic moment for all of us. I should like to make a request.
Before you proceed,
I know it's not protocol, Captain. But would you permit me to post our orders and inform the crew of our mission?
See, right here, this nod was all about, I'm sorry, I tried to save your life. This little bit, people have said it was shocking, it's in the book. The fact that he lays for 20 seconds on the floor before he dies. It's one of the things I found all the way through this was that if I needed an idea or I needed research or I needed something, or the best source was just go look at Tom's book and pay attention. I think that was part of why in the end he kind of like what we did with it.
Dr. Petrov, report to my cabin immediately. There's been a dreadful accident.
Now, this scene is an actual nuclear submarine in a dry dock in San Diego. It's the first time one had ever been photographed. Even as it was, they had to hide a lot of parts for us. The propeller was all shrouded in canvases and things, and they wouldn't let us see it. But we actually shot it. The Navy let us come in there and and see the damn thing. Now one would just get a computer or something and mock it up. I don't know. I hope this is more effective. You don't see that much of the boat, but I hope maybe the audience senses that it's real instead of a computer.
Damn it, Bill! Tell him to slow down!
I'm slowing it! I'm slowing it! Calm down, will ya?
It's not a model. The DSRV. Rescue some.
I used many actors in this who were not known as for doing military parts or action movie sorts of things. Jeffrey Jones done many things. I think what I remembered him from was Amadeus.
You got a minute?
Courtney Vance is the same sort of acting choice. Finding somebody who's from a completely different world and doesn't have some of the bad habits that come from some of the other military movies that we've all seen.
How about a towed sonar array?
No, too close to the screws.
This could be a caterpillar.
A what?
A caterpillar drive. Magneto hydrodynamic propulsion. You follow?
No.
It's like a jet engine for the water. Goes in the front.
Another puzzlement I have is whether or not does the audience actually understand the technology of the story? It all tracks and makes sense, and it's simplified but fairly realistic. We went to a lot of trouble to try to keep putting explanations in and repeat the explanations. Probably not as much as you know, the Hitchcock line about say it again, and you know, tell him you're going to say it, etc.
This thing could park a couple of 100 warheads off Washington and New York, and no one would know anything about it till it was all over.
Are you all right?
Oh, yes. Just to die. Tim Curry turned out wonderfully in this. Again, they thought it was completely insane casting.
You'll feel better when we put in.
Put in?
Well, to base, Captain. We cannot go on without a political officer.
Doctor, this is a combat vessel of the Soviet Navy, and I am a senior combat officer. We do not cancel operations because of accidents. Seaman, come here. Come here. Your name?
Cook's assistant, Loganoff, sir.
Good. I want you and the doctor to witness this. This seating of the ultimate villain on board is, I've got to admit, frail. I suppose we should have kept cutting to the guy over and over again to build suspicion about him, but
that's all, Loganoff.
Yes, sir. This is most unnerving, Captain. The reason for having two missile keys is so that no one man may
what?
May arm the missiles. Perhaps I should keep the key.
Thank you, that'll be all, Doctor.
Captain,
when I address the crew, then you will understand. Petro.
Sir.
I will try to forget your comments when I present my report. Tim is a splendid actor. He's very nice to work with.
Holding steady on 310, 12 knots at about 20,000 yards.
You got a make on it?
Computer's chewing on it, sir. Twin screws. Plat noise sounds like a typhoon. I'd say we got a new boat, sir.
Tommy, I missed something on the boards the last few days.
Subland hasn't said anything about it.
I like how Scott behaves in this scene very well. He does seem like a professional.
Okay. Call this guy Typhoon 7, start a tape on him. See if we can work him a little closer.
Sir. Only hears?
Not if we stay in his baffles, Seaman Beaumont. Not if we stay in his baffles. Come in behind his propeller and he's deficit.
This is more explanations. Explaining words that'll show up and be important in the story later on. There's a lot of design work involved in trying to keep the let the audience know where they were each time. So not simply the lighting, but the color of all the materials and the Soviet sub is obviously all chrome and black. Green screens and blue light. The American is usually with warm yellows and red light.
With you on the maiden voyage of our motherland's most recent achievement.
And once more, we play our dangerous game. A game of chess against our old adversary, the American Navy.
For 40 years, your fathers before you and your older brothers played this game.
I think John Milius wrote this speech.
The game is different. We have the advantage.
It reminds me of the heady days of Sputnik and Yuri Gagarin, when the world trembled at the sound.
John was hired to do a rewrite just before we started shooting. It was kind of odd. He used to send me these pages of scribbling on yellow legal paper, and I'd wind up in the middle of the night trying to incorporate it into the script that we were shooting the next day.
Comrades, our own fleet doesn't know our full potential.
They will do everything possible to test us, but they will only test their own embarrassment. We will leave our fleet behind.
I kept trying to get faces that didn't look American, and there were four or five of the Russian kids that I'm afraid I was disgraceful about. I just kept putting them in the middle of everything.
Missile drills. And when we are finished, the only sound they will hear is our laughter.
Now, this little shot right here is actually in a real submarine. And that was some of the toughest days we spent, were shooting in a very, really tight circumstance.
Союз не Русими республик свободных Россия.
Caterpillar engaging.
На Викая Русь.
На здравствуйте, создание его.
We also tried to come up with a whole different pattern of orders, a different rhythm for the Russian boat. And no matter what we planned, Sean would usually change it. He would come up with some odd variation of his own. I think it was secrets he brought to us from the Scottish Navy.
Solar contact, Captain!
This line coming up from Sean about let them sing.
American,
American. Captain, course 310.
He did very well. And you get such a sense of...
American is continuing in his original course. He's continuing...
Oh, that he actually cares about his man.
Singing.
Here's Sean's line. I think personally that's probably my favorite moment. Here is our gimbaled set. So that these guys actually stand up straight and the world twists.
What are you talking about?
Check your gear.
Running diagnostics now, Captain.
Again, here's Scott being realistic. He isn't yelling at anybody.
The Russian disappeared. 1 minute he was steady, 4,000 yards off the bow, and then he was gone. And for a second, I thought I heard...
Heard what?
I thought I heard singing, sir.
Singing?
Yes, sir.
Now... This man is Peter Zinner. He's a wonderful old editor. He got an Academy Award for The Deer Hunter. And I had hired him to cut the movie. And after about a week, the first week of dailies, he was having terrible trouble because I moved the camera all the time, and it was so outside of his style that that I asked him if we could bring somebody else in. But we stayed friends enough that I wanted him to do this part, and he still came and did it.
There's a letter there from Mark.
And seems like a great old Russian bear.
No, this is Dr. Ryan.
What the hell happened?
Come on. This is no longer a research project.
Now, this is a very complicated thing here. We had to create the illusion that we...
You know what they are?
We're in the White House.
A nearly silent propulsion system?
How did you know that?
And there's... There were enormous limits on what you could shoot around the White House. And they weren't going to let us walk Alec in or anything. So we walked him into a building across the street, sent him down into a subterranean corridor, and had him walk for what appears to be a block underground. I think we actually got away with this.
Three Sverdlovs, the Kiev, the Minsk... They sortied their whole bloody fleet.
And that's about the size of it.
Good afternoon, Admiral.
Afternoon, Matthew.
Where are we going anyway?
Briefing for Jeffrey Pelt, President's National Security Advisor. Most of the Joint Chiefs will be there, along with a few other people.
Who's giving the briefing?
I love this little moment, too.
You are. The yeoman will have all the slides laid out for you, so what you gotta do...
Again, this is part of sort of the dance Jan de Bunt and I did, but I mean, in order to make that little moment, having the camera continue away and with James Earl Jones, but leave Jack stuck in the background.
(Clears throat)
Gentlemen, the last 24 hours have seen some extraordinary Soviet naval activity. The first to sail was this ship, we believe called the Red October, in reference to the October Revolution of 1917. A variant of the Typhoon class, she's some 650 feet long and 32,000 tons submerged displacement, roughly the same size as a World War II aircraft carrier.
My own father's in this scene. He's...
Again on the stern. Enclose a unique propulsion system. A magneto...
I'll see.
Caterpillar that would enable the sub to run virtually silent. It is possible that this new drive system allowed the captain, a man named Ramius, their senior and perhaps most respected commander... Do we have his picture available? Allowed Ramius to elude one of our attack boats, the Dallas...
This was just at the beginning of... I mean, now it's so easy to make up phony photographs with Photoshop. This was at the beginning of it, and we were still doing it in the old-fashioned way where you...
Mr. Ryan, would you tie...
My father is the gray-haired man sitting next to James Earl Jones on the left side of the table.
It is designed to approach by stealth and to shower its target with multiple independent warheads with little or no warning before impact.
Goddamn things made to start a war.
Proceed, Mr. Ryan.
Anyway, we had to make up these photographs in the old-fashioned way, the way the KGB used to dock their photographs. You know, you'd cut them in, and you'd paint around it and do all sorts of silly mechanical nonsense. It's so much easier now.
Plans of the Kirov, the Minsk, and more than 20 other cruisers and destroyers indicating they were preparing to sail. This constitutes the bulk of the Soviet surface fleet.
Admiral Greer, your conclusions?
Sir, the data support no conclusions as yet. The absence of activity in the Pacific suggests this could be just an exercise. It may
Suppose
have
Suppose it's
to
not
do
an exercise. Suppose this is the beginning of a move against NATO.
NSA can speak to that, Mr. Pelt.
Judge.
I must emphasize the extreme sensitivity of this information and that it not leave the room. Before sailing, Captain Ramius sent a letter to Admiral Yuri Pedorin, chairman of the Red Fleet Northern Political Directorate.
That's her uncle.
A member of the party
What's uncle?
Committee and
Ramius' wife. Pedorin's her uncle.
Now, the contents of the letter are unknown. But Admiral Pedorin immediately demanded a meeting with Premier Chernyenko.
What I was trying to do in this scene, and I don't know that I accomplished it, was give you some sense of what it's actually like at a table when, you know, because all sorts of things go on that are outside of the official business at the conference. There's all sorts of emotional activity that goes on in those things that has nothing to do with the official work of the, you know, of the conference table.
What?
Today is the 23rd, isn't it?
Yeah.
You wish to add something to our discussion, Dr. Ryan?
I'm privately grimacing here because I don't feel like we did that very well.
Perhaps there's another possibility we might consider. Ramius might be trying to defect.
Do you mean to suggest that this man has
Proceed,
come...
Proceed, Mr. Ryan.
Well... Ramius trained most of their officer corps, which would put him in a position to select men willing to help him. But he's not Russian. He's Lithuanian by birth, raised by his paternal grandfather, a fisherman. And he has no children, no ties to leave behind. And today is the first anniversary of his wife's death.
Oh, come on. You're just an analyst. What can you possibly know what goes on in this mine?
I know Ramius, General. He's nearly a legend in the submarine community. He's been a maverick his entire career. I actually met him once at an embassy dinner. Have you ever met him?
James Earl did this very well. little thing of the hand sliding over. Again, this is part of trying to make a sense of what are all the ins and outs that are going on at a conference besides the official business.
4 days.
All right. I'll brief the president. That'll be all, gentlemen. Dr. Ryan, would you stay for a moment? Please.
I said, speak your mind, Jack, but Jesus.
Richard Jordan came up with this. He said it was an Indiana accent.
You slammed the door on the general pretty hard, Jack.
That was not my intention, sir.
Oh, yes, it was.
Having not spent much time in Indiana, I don't know whether it is or not, but he feels realistic.
Listen. I'm a politician, which means I'm a cheat and a liar. And when I'm not kissing babies, I'm stealing their lollipops. But it also means that I keep my options open. So, let's assume for a minute that you're right, and this Russian intends to defect. What do you suggest we do about it?
This scene, you, in a formal architectural sense, be the call to adventure.
We're not talking about some stray pilot with a MiG. We're talking about several $1 billion worth of Soviet state property. They're going to want it back.
Maybe it's enough, then, just to get some people on board and inspect it. Call it whatever you want to, a Coast Guard safety inspection.
So how do we proceed?
Well, first we would need to contact the commanders in the Atlantic directly. The Russians get one whiff of this through the regular communication circuits, the game is up. Second, we need to figure out what can we do to help them. We need to devise a plan to intercede, ready to go at a moment's notice. And third, somebody's got to go out there and make contact with Ramius and find out what his intentions really are.
Okay, when do you leave?
Wait a minute. The general was right. I am not field personnel. I am only an analyst.
You're perfect. I can't ask any of these characters to go. One, they don't believe in it. Two, they'd never stake their reputation on a hunch. Whereas you
are expendable.
Something like that.
Again, I like that little moment.
After that,
learning that Richard Johnson is actually a decent guy somewhere underneath, that he doesn't come up with a smarmy answer. Here we have Stellan Skarsgård.
Secure the mast! All ahead, 2/3. Set depth for 900 meters.
What is it? What's happened?
Mast secured. Only 2/3.
Now, in order to try to make this boat look different, we were using the same chrome materials we used on the Red October, but now the light is red. Our hope was, and to some extent I suppose it worked, that you could cut to any one of these boats and have a sense of where you were without having a title come on the screen to tell you where
all
you are.
Clank. All ahead, clank.
Inquire of the engineer about the possibility of going to 105% on the reactor. 7 hours. Entire.
Again, this is important exposition in a way, that little line about the reactor. You know, that the Russian sailors were frightened of their own reactors, which was realistic, was true.
105% on the reactor possible. Not recommended.
Now, we had the Russian smoke. Don't know whether that's realistic. The American Navy stopped smoking probably 10 years before this movie.
We're going to kill Ramius.
And no submariner smoked.
would if you liked Bush, but
I'm sorry,
but I'd be better.
Tim Curry is a riot. I find him a lot of fun every time I see him.
So then we went on to the Bolshoi, to ballet. See, this new girl is Giselle. Well, you remember how beautiful she was. Well, she just married a factory manager.
Excuse me, doctor. Do you have the figures for the latest batch of radiation tests?
No.
No.
At the end of this shot, I did it, but it's an old-fashioned silly trick, but see how the door closes right into the camera, and then you cut back inside again after you've replaced the wall. So I haven't seen this in a long time. It seems wildly overdrawn, all the conspiracy stuff in here, but I guess it helps make it clear.
Didn't sleep on his teeth, did he?
Sean knew that he was going to have to spend the day eating, or that he wanted to be eating. He was the only one at the table still eating. And being experienced, he decided what the menu should be so that he could continue to eat it. And he had, I think it's beets and onions. And he sat there all day long, just chugging them away.
You are not in command here.
If the crew finds out, we could have a mutiny.
Would you help talking
nonsense?
They could kill us all.
That's right. Everything that happens on this ship affects us all.
The master at arms is on
this ship. Right.
I just still go back.
You know.
All we have to
say
is
no going back.
Before we sailed, I dispatched a letter to Admiral.
Now, this is another John Milius line. The thing about Cortez.
In the name of God, why?
When he reached the New World, Cortez burned his ships. As a result, his men were well motivated.
You have signed our death warrants.
Hadorin will send the entire fleet.
Jesus, they'll find us. They'll find us and hunt us down.
Nobody's going to find us. That's enough, Yuri.
You have to do it, huh? You couldn't just turn the submarine over.
These, from hindsight, seem like an plausible group of American and English actors to...
Was it something deep, Captain?
Appear to be a bunch of Russian officers.
Each have our reasons, Victor. My own began the day I...
It was an odd or difficult thing to find the right tone where... You're clearly in movie land. You're not in a dead realistic place, but the theatrical style seems appropriate.
You should be. Personally, I give us one chance in three. And more tea, anyway.
This is Sean eating his cucumbers and onions.
And you may report back to your post.
And the gimmick I used to shoot this scene is I wanted to put the audience in at the table, so I put the camera in one place. In one specific place next to Sean, and I shot everything from there. Table scenes are notoriously difficult to stage. In fact, people have written whole books about how you do it. This is my personal solution. It seems so simple and obvious, but I guess I get away with it all right.
Oh, man, you know that. But in this case...
All of this stuff I shot with wide lenses and the camera very close. Put the audience in the middle of the space. This is a very good little notion that that we came up with. I think this is John Milius again, was setting up the joke about the... No, Larry Ferguson did this. Was setting up the joke about the cowboy.
We get some buckaroo.
You could have been with us 5-6 months ago. Oh, you talk about guilt. We ran into a hailstorm over the sea of Japan, right? Everybody switching their guts out. The pilot...
This is Rick Dukeman. And he's a comedian, and I've used him in about 5 films. As comic relief in the middle of stuff.
Hey, you want to fight?
Jack, next time you get the right idea, just put it in a memo.
That is the actual Enterprise, and we really shot that out there in the dark.
Sir.
And here's Senator Thompson.
Williams prep. 4 wire. Caught a gust over the fantail.
Well, not bad, considering.
The gentleman is here to see you.
Gentleman? What are you talking about, Charlie?
I apologize for the uniform, sir. This is Admiral Greer's idea of a low profile.
You work for Jim Greer?
That's right, sir.
And I imagine you'll tell me what all the hubbub's about.
Ken, you got a minute? Chauncey's got something I think you ought to see.
Martinez, get yourself a cup of coffee and have him send me in some tea.
Aye, Captain. Bester, get the Captain a cup of tea.
This is the actual tone in a real attack submarine. It's quiet, like a library.
I heard something in the background, real faint. And then, after all those...
All the men speak softly and directly.
I washed it through the computer a few times and I was able to isolate the sound.
Another part of it is they don't say extra things. Their language style is quite spare.
See, sir, the SAP's software was originally written to look for seismic events. And I think when he gets confused, he kind of runs home to Momo.
I'm not following you, Georgie.
Sir, I'm sorry. Listen to it at 10 times speed. Now that's got to be man-made, Captain.
I hope that's clear. I can never tell when... It seems perfectly obvious to me, but whether it makes any sense to the audience, I can't tell you. The actor on the right is named Tony Peck. I met him. He was a waiter in Los Angeles.
The front door to those canyons was a formation called Thor's Twin.
And I like his manner. He's just pleasant, a decent guy. I used him in Die Hard also. Scott Glenn is a really... He's an interesting actor, and he went through an interesting development in this story. He went out on a Navy sub, and the captain treated him as... He gave instructions to the whole crew that he was to treat Scott as if he was the captain. And give reports to him and treat him, be deferential to him and relate to him as if he was actually a Navy captain. And Scott came back completely different. He came back very soft-spoken and quiet and serious and considerate, because the reality of what most of these Navy captains are like, or what their style is that they're almost like they're college presidents or something. I mean, they everybody studies on a submarine all the time, and they the style of the officers is always very restrained and soft spoken and considerate.
Yes, sir.
That's the stuff that Scott learned out on this Salt Lake City. That quiet seriousness.
Christ, that's the craziest notion I've ever heard. A serving line officer?
This Senator Thompson's quarters are obviously is a set. There are similar admirals' quarters on aircraft carriers, but they're a lot smaller. We decided we'd rather build it. It's far too difficult to shoot on a set, aside from the fact that the Navy probably wouldn't have let us. But the most difficult part was working in the silly portholes there with the moonlight coming through them. They don't actually have portholes, you see, on aircraft carriers. It would have been a solid steel wall, but we cheated.
Or do you plan to eliminate them?
We're not at war, sir.
So the only way for this thing to work is for you to get them off the boat in such a way that they think we don't have them.
Those lines about are you going to eliminate them and we're not at war are very important in the story, but I don't think we did them very well, seeing it now.
Yes, sir. I think I see your point.
When's the last time you slept?
A while.
Chief outside will fix you up.
Thank you, sir. Captain.
Little human exchanges in the middle of the clashing of nations. Somebody stops for a second and says, "You had any sleep lately?"
You think he's crazy?
Certifiable. And no matter what his credentials, I don't care for him wearing the uniform.
You see that ring on his finger? The Academy, class of 72, a Marine.
We made up this story. This isn't actually in the... I don't think it's in the book.
Here, he went down in a chopper accident in the Med. Bad. Pilot, crew kill. That kid spent 10 months in traction, and another year learning to walk again. Did his fourth year from the hospital. That's up to you, Charlie, but you might consider cutting the kid a little slack. Russian's going to find that sub before we get near it anyway.
That's Sven Ole Thorsen. He's an old friend of Arnold Schwarzenegger's.
Passing Thor's twins, sir.
Very good.
Passing the twins now, Captain.
Very good. You may commence your run. Call me when you get to the first turning.
Aye, Captain. Mr. Komarov. You may commence your run now.
Aye, sir. First leg on my mark. Course 260.
One of the hardest things for doing a movie like this is to get some action sequences in it. We made this one up. It's sort of in the book. It's certainly suggested by the book.
Speed 18 miles off.
Hey, signori. Give me a stopwatch and a map, and I'll fly the Alps in a plane with no windows.
Map is accurate enough.
But it's very abstract. And it depends on the audience understanding a lot of the physical arrangements. I feel like I'm making apologies a bit, but I guess I haven't seen this stuff in quite a while, and I'm feeling I'm constantly seeing the things we should have done, I guess.
Decrease depth to 200 meters. Maintain speed.
I got navigator. Captain, we are approaching the first turn. 25 seconds to course one.
The sequence has all of the has all the elements to make it make sense. It's just that they're all abstract. They're intellectual. They're not physical. You can't shoot them. You know, it's the stopwatch and positions on a map and things.
2, 1, mark.
Diving control, come left to 195.
Come left to 195.
Up on the bow planes. 195.
again, it's also very hard to visualize the physical submarine from the outside. Because there would just be no light, or if there was, he wouldn't be able to see anything at the distance necessary to visualize an entire submarine. It would be just complete blur.
MRH course 240, now at 8 minutes and 40 seconds.
Very good. Maintain course and speed.
Too fast, Vasily. Too fast. Those charts are laid out precisely. So many knots and such a course for so many seconds. And this thing handles like a pig.
What's your bearing, Mr. Stubby?
Seconds to turn, Captain. Should we decrease speed?
Negative. The sail have to come right.
Right, sir. 8, 7, 6, 5.
It's interesting. I mean, Sean, if this scene works at all, Sean is the one that carries it through. His... You may not know what his purpose is, but the fact that he sits there as if he has a purpose drives the scene.
We're in the lane. Next leg, 34 minutes to the Neptune Massif. Course 240.
This scene has a good claustrophobic sense about it. People caught in a very tight little space. It wasn't actually that small.
First, could be a problem with the liquid helium, or maybe the superconductors.
What we did was, whenever there was any empty space, we put a man in it in order to make it feel tight.
Captain, we will not be silent.
Make revolutions for 20 knots and engage the propellers.
Hi, Captain.
Commence engine startup. The man will get us all killed.
Captain knows what he's doing.
Doctor?
Naval activities? I have no knowledge of this. But then, of course, I never was.
This is Joss Auckland.
Mr. Ambassador, you have nearly 100 naval vessels operating in the North Atlantic right now. Your aircraft has dropped enough sonar buoys so that a man could walk from Greenland to Iceland to Scotland without getting his feet wet. Now, shall we dispense with the bull?
You make your point as delicately as ever, Mr. Pelt. But the sea has...
And what looks like an exercise could be a prelude to war. How can we tell the difference? Prudence demands that we deploy our ships to observe...
This scene is just two men sitting in chairs yelling at each other. And in an effort to keep it alive, you'll see I keep dollying. And start and stop the dolly at times that seem to be dramatically significant, whether they are or not.
We have lost one of our submarines.
Lost it?
We fear she may be down, and well, this is most embarrassing, but several of the crew of the officers are sons of high party officials. One is even the son of a central commander.
There was another actor, there was an Irish actor, who looked very much like Joss, and I wanted... He was the first one I attempted to cast before Richard Jordan. I had this sense that these two guys should look like Tweedledum and Tweedledee. two 60-year-old bald men.
How about your own?
From two sides of the Iron Curtain who both do this, have the same bag of tricks. This is standard Dr. Strangelove tricks. You know, piece of scenery, supposedly the inside of an airplane.
Captain.
Our strategy depends on your answer. The entire fleet will know where we are.
Captain, sonar. We have just been overflown by a low altitude multi-engine turboprop.
Put it on audio.
I don't know that the audience really understands that a low-altitude multi-engine turboprop is an anti-submarine plane. I've since seen the Americans have hundreds of them, and that crisscross every ocean of the world all the time.
How long?
4 minutes, 10 seconds. Shall we button the boat, Captain?
No, too late for that now. We run out of time. Countermeasures. Prepare to launch a full spread.
Aye, sir.
Aircraft on computer guidance. Request permission to launch the weapon.
You are authorized to launch the weapon.
Weapon is away.
High speed, crew. Torpedo in the water.
Stand by.
Torpedo is active. Torpedo has acquired.
Launch countermeasures.
Launch countermeasures, aye, sir.
We're in the lane.
How long to the turn of the measure?
2 minutes, 9 seconds. We have no room to maneuver in this canyon, Captain. If the countermeasure doesn't
work... Shut up!
Now we're in the area of some, unfortunately, early and quite primitive computer effects.
Contact.
Massive approaching.
Torpedo has reacquired. Torpedo has reacquired and is homing.
Give me the count.
Turn at massive 40 degrees starboard in 30 seconds.
Time to torpedo impact.
Torpedo impact 35 seconds.
Increase the flank.
Full ahead flank.
Full ahead flank.
Full ahead flank, guys. Torpedo impact now, 40 seconds. 35 seconds.
I hope the sensor that works in this, that a submarine captain keeps the world outside of his seconds. Ship in his head. It's an abstract world that...
Seven.
A
six.
Dimension five, that probably four, he's one of the few people on the boat who understand.
One.
And it involves a tremendous amount of mathematics.
Return, Captain.
To know where he is and know what's safe and and what he should do. That's what I was trying to build here.
Plus 15 seconds. Captain, if we're out of position by so much as a boat length.
Torpedo impact now, 15 seconds.
Sound collision.
Sound collision.
Captain, we're out.
And that a submarine captain has to function in the middle of a lot of other things going on while he's doing mathematics in his own head.
Right full rudder, reverse starboard.
And that part is quite realistic. I watched the American sub captains doing it.
Torpedo impact. 12 seconds. 10.
Here's another place where we use our gimbaled set, where we twisted the entire set so that the men would still be standing upright while the walls slanted. I remember seeing all the old World War II movies where they slant the walls, but the men would slant with it, and you could tell all they'd done is tilted the camera. That little business of the steam pipe leaking is utter nonsense, but it's so traditional about from all those World War II sub movies where they fitting breaks and Something sprays out and they have to close off the valve. It's the only way we could make it clear what was going on.
I found out what happened to the caterpillar.
The buffer circuit has been torn out. It was only a matter of time before an overload.
This guy's a very good actor.
What are you saying?
Whoever did this knew how to cripple a caterpillar in a way not easy to find.
Captain, we have a saboteur on board.
There can't be any of the officers. We had all the time in the world before we put to sea. Must be a member of the crew. Go below Burton's cab. Check his files for information on the crew. We may have to put them off before we land.
The average Ruski son don't take a dump without a plan. Wait a
minute. This little gimmick with Alec works here.
We don't have to figure out how to get the crew off the sub. He's already done that. He would have had to. All we have to do is figure out what...
Explain the plan of how are they going to get the crew off.
How is he going to get the crew off the sub?
They have to want to get off. How do you get a crew to want to get off a submarine? How do you get a crew to want to get off a nuclear sub?
I know how he's going to get the crew off the sub, Admiral.
Not now, Jack.
Yankee 1 Starbase. Say again, status. Over. Yankee 1 Starbase, declare an emergency. Over.
Yankee 1,
vector 270, speed is buster. Over.
Yankee 1, Suzuki, hydraulic pressure.
Say again, Yankee 1. Say again.
Bear Foxtrot got too close to the group. One of the F-14s tried to crowd him, of course.
I'm kind of surprised seeing this again. How many different sets we had? This is a set for a CIC and an American carrier. That computer screen is realistic. We actually simplified it and made it try to put more information in, but I think we should have gone further than that. It's hard to follow.
For a rescue team, yes. Something else strange. They're banging away with their active sonar as if they're looking for something, but nobody's listening.
What do you mean?
Well, they're moving at close to 30 knots. At that speed, they could run over my daughter's stereo and not hear it.
Yankee 1, confirm gear down.
They're not trying to find Brandy. They're trying to drive him.
Drive him where?
Terry Marsh was the production designer. I think he did a great job, particularly with the American subs are, by and large, redecorations of the real submarines. But we had to make up the Red October entirely. And I think Terry did a great job of coming up with a style that looked distinctively different from the American, so we'd always know which ship we were on.
He's had an intermittent contact with what his computer calls a magma.
And he made the Red October seem as if it was part of an evil culture. You know, it's sort of like the Death Star out of Star Wars or something like that. I think that's pretty much what we used as the model.
He's just waiting. He's not even sure what he heard.
Excuse me, sir, but this silent propulsion system could easily be mistaken.
Jack, the only way to get you onto Dallas is to fly you out there. Chopper. The only way we can get you that far north is to strip it down and turn it into a flying gas can.
Excuse me, Admiral. Yankee 1 is on final. Rescue personnel are in place.
Now, I pull a gimmick here to crash.
Eject!
Crash the airplane. That looks quite realistic. And it is actually an airplane crashing. But it crashed 30 years before.
This business will get out of control. It will get out of control and we'll be lucky to live through it.
And in order to use it, what I did was stage the scene downstairs so that they saw it on video monitors, which is how an aircraft carrier actually works. They have monitors for everything.
There, but Dallas may not be there. We're trying to get a message to her, but it's gone deep. It's done. If you have to
can't remember which aircraft carrier we shot this on. No, actually, this is on the real Enterprise. During the preparation for the film, I was probably on four or five other carriers, but we shot for 3 days on the Enterprise.
Jack, write a goddamn memo.
Larry Ferguson, the writer.
Diving off your hippie depth 650.
Make my depth 650 feet.
Proceeding below the thermal level. 15 degree down.
Captain stacked out?
Yeah.
Auxiliaries to exceed 5,000 pounds.
What about him?
He won't leave.
650 feet.
Con sonar, I hold no contacts on bearing 295.
500 feet coming to 650 feet.
You know, I seen me a mermaid once. I even seen me a shark eat an octopus. I ain't never seen no phantom Russian submarine.
It's odd. From hindsight, I wonder if the style of popular movies has changed a lot since this. I wonder if we'd be allowed to do something as realistic or sort of as restrained and as abstract and cerebral as this. Because the real world of these people is all it's a silent world of navigation and mathematics and engineering. That actor's Sam Neill. He's most people think Australian, actually he's New Zealand. I wanted to use him. I'm not sure what I'd seen him in, probably Breaker Morant. He has a nice dry professionalism. At the same time, he seems like such a trustworthy, decent fellow. I needed him to be the reflection or the sidekick for Sean, to try to help us know who we should believe here.
Do you think they will let me live in Montana?
I would think they'll let you live wherever you want.
These are guys who are emigrating. That's the reality. These are guys who are leaving their country and moving to a new world that they don't know too much about. And so Larry came up with this
pickup truck. Or possibly even a recreational vehicle. And drive from state to state. Do they let you do that?
Yes.
No papers?
No papers. State to state.
All right, commence your turn.
Well then, in winter I will live in Arizona. Actually, I think I will need two wives.
Oh, at least.
Possible aspect change on target.
Sonar con eye.
Again, this is another complex sequence.
Con sonar, crazy eye.
All stop, good quiet.
All stop, eye. Answers all stop.
Now, these guys are all real Navy. What we did for the crew was...
Russian captains sometimes turn suddenly to see if anyone's...
We used a lot of American Navy men. The premise when I started was that I figured I'd use half real Navy guys and half actors. and that the actors are teach the Navy guys how to make believe and act, and the Navy guys would show the actors how to behave. The odd part was it turned out that the Navy guys, since they do drills all the time, know how to pretend. They know, well, actually to them there's no difference. When you're inside a sub, the difference between a drill and reality is there isn't one. It all looks the same. So these guys had no difficulty with, give them a scenario and have them act their way through it. In fact, they were better at it than the professional actors we had.
What is it?
I miss the peace of fishing, like when I was a boy. 40 years living at sea. A war at sea. A war with no battles. No monuments. Only casualties. I widowed her the day I married her. My wife died while I was at sea, you know.
I do wonder if I could do this sequence in it. In a movie now, if there'd be patience for it.
Post guards in the engineering spaces. If he can get to the Caterpillar, he can get to somewhere more vital.
Where is he, Jonesy?
Con sonar. Target is now coming out of our starboard baffles. My read is that he's returning to base course.
Concur. He's returning to course 210.
Right around us.
We'll give him another 30 seconds. Insecure from silent, right?
Captain. Here's what we got in the ELF.
Thanks.
Hi, sir.
What is it?
I can't even believe this.
We shot this sequence in Puget Sound. Which statistically is the most cloudy place in the country. And we did it at the most cloudy time of the year. And the problem is the weather statistics were from the shore and not in the middle of the sound. And actually we had continual bright sunny days every day for a month. This is one of the hardest sequences to shoot because we had so much difficulty with the weather.
Give me an 8 o'clock. Let's hope this thing runs on fumes.
Very well.
Surface the ship.
Surf ship, aye, sir. Chief
of Water. Whoever this guy is, he's in for one hell of a ride.
Surface.
Okay, Commander, go ahead and sit down. Gun is built off.
You ever do this before?
Once. On a calm day. Caught the wire.
Yeah, with no reference point, the pilot had a hell of a time keeping steady.
Don't take chances getting grounded. Keep that rod in front of you.
Air like this, the rotors will be putting out enough static electricity to light up Chicago.
I gotta join the Navy. I got a diver in the escape trunk in case this guy goes in the drain.
We may need him. Somebody must really have a burr up his ass to go for a stunt like this.
Navy had a boat going to Puget Sound that had to do training in the sound for about a week. So what we wound up doing since they were being nice enough to let us photograph their ship, but it wasn't going to be there that long. We had to keep, we shot it all at dawn because it was too sunny and pleasant out. Again, this is an action sequence that depends on a lot of information and the audience getting the information about the static electricity. And I don't know whether they do.
Don't touch him!
Check! This is never gonna work.
Okay, Johnny, reel him back in. Tony, what the hell is going on back?
Now, we actually did drop Alec in the water. He was dangling from a helicopter in the Pacific.
Man overboard! Port side! Send down the diver!
He was pretty gutsy about it. He didn't have any difficulty with that.
Get the dock down here! I'll be in the escape trunk.
All right.
Down ladder! I love this little shot. It gives you a sense of how tight things actually are in a sub.
How do you do, Captain? It's a pleasure to be aboard.
I have to talk to the president.
Of course. May I inquire as to the subject?
It seems that the initial reports that one of our submarines was missing were not completely accurate. The submarine in question is commanded by Captain Marco Ramius. Apparently he has suffered a kind of mental or nervous breakdown. Just before he sailed, he posted a letter to Admiral Yuri Fedorin in which he announced his intention to fire his missiles on the United States.
Why didn't you tell me this the last time we met?
In my position, I am sometimes compromised by the fact that Moscow does not always tell me everything.
So one of your submarine captains has gone insane? What do you want from us?
You offered your assistance.
Now, that was a rescue mission. Now you want us to help you hunt him down, kill him.
I have been instructed to ask your president for precisely that.
Find him. We already found him. We had to break off to come pick you up.
Coffee. Thank you. Cigarette? No smoke.
This is a good little sequence here. It's done in a real tight little space.
Receiving flash traffic on the VLF emergency circuit.
Very well, bring it down. Well, Mr. Ryan?
Chief, excuse us for a second.
Leonard, come on.
Yeah, having one guy slip, one man has to step aside for the other guy to slip through.
The sub we're after is called the Red October.
The Navy was great on this film. Obviously, we couldn't have made it without them. They didn't give us anything, actually. We rented a couple of helicopters, and we didn't exactly rent a submarine, but we paid for the crew's Christmas fund and their health, some health and welfare thing. But the main thing the Navy did is that they gave us, they taught us. They gave us a lot of trainers. They gave us a lot of people who would tell us how things are done and what is the style of the Navy and what's, what do these things look like? What do these things feel like? How do people behave? That was the way they opened up to us. Because the submarine service has always been the silent service, the secret service, in effect. And so it was a big thing for them to let as many of us in as possible, and to let us see how they functioned. And everybody in the film wound up very grateful to them. Now, these are all real Navy guys who could fill up there. You know, I create the impression of, you know, what an emergency situation is in a ship where everything is intellectual, where it's all computer screens and pressure gauges.
Battle systems are manned and ready, Captain.
Very well.
Captain, I have to talk to you.
No, no. Tommy, make your depth 1,200 feet, 20 degrees down angle.
All right, Captain. Diving officer, make your depth 1,200 feet, 20 degree down.
Make my depth 1,200 feet, 20 degree down. All right. Full dive on fair water planes. Full dive on
stern. Full dive on fair water planes.
20 degree down.
20 degree down, eh?
Passing 450 feet, going to 1,200. 500.
600. 700.
I think you actually get a sense that the thing is tilting out of this. This little sequence, it feels real.
Sonar Khan. Got him yet, Jonesy?
Very faint, sir. Hold on.
Yes, sir. Contact Typhoon 7 on bearing 250, right where he's supposed to be.
Any signs alert to our presence?
No, sir. Operating as before.
Come left 265. Bring us up behind him quietly, Tommy.
Aye, aye, Captain. Diving officer, make your depth 500 feet.
Please listen to me. 2 minutes, that's all.
Plot, time to intercept this track.
4 minutes, Captain.
Very well, Mr. Ryan. 2 minutes.
I understand that message. It makes perfect sense. Look at the situation. Ramius intends to defect. The Russians know this, which is why they've been trying to sink him for the past 2 days. But they haven't been able to, so they're
trying... Captain, I have a firing solution.
Very well.
Captain, you have to listen to me. The Russians...
Eric did this section very well. It's very complicated stuff, and he has to make sure we understand it and keep it tense and energetic. It's hard to do.
I know this man.
Has he made any crazy Ivans?
What difference does that make?
Because the next one will be to starboard.
Why, because his last was to port?
No, because he always goes to starboard in the bottom half of the hour.
Flood tubes 1 and 2 assigned presets. Warm up the weapons.
Captain, there has to be some way you can establish contact without violating your orders. I'm telling you, he wants to defect.
Mr. Thompson, call Chief Watson to the con with his sidearm.
Sonar, signal to noise ratios dropping. Possible aspect change in target.
Recur possible target sync based on bearing rate.
Con Sonar, crazy Ivan.
Captain, he's turning.
Which way is he turning, Jones?
To the starboard, sir.
Give the man a chance.
All back full.
Can't say again.
I said all back full.
Back full, aye, sir.
You know, that's really the thematic line in the center of this story is, you know, give the man a chance.
All stop.
Stop, aye.
All right, Ryan, we just unzipped our fly. Mr. Thompson.
You know, give the Russians a chance. Give, it sounds silly, but it's sort of give peace a chance.
Going right to Mars.
All stop, rudder amidship.
All stop, rudder amidship.
Sonar. Can you identify the contact?
And the thing that Alice's character is always trying to do is have people take a risk.
One and two, we're ready to shoot.
Very well.
to have a peaceful outcome.
Captain, he has opened his outer doors and is preparing to fire.
Flood tubes 3 and 4 and plot a solution.
Aye, Captain. Flood tubes 3 and 4, plot solution.
Flood 3 and 4. I mean, it's a sort of odd structure for a war movie. I mean, the central character is... what his action is to try to prevent a war.
Solution into the computer. Do not open the doors.
Now, I think Sean is very good at making the mechanics dramatic, making them understandable.
Consul, our target's flooded his tubes.
Has he opened his outer doors?
Negative, Captain. He's just sitting there. Hold on. Hull popping. Target's coming shallow.
What's that mean?
It means he's a very cool customer, the Russian. He knows we're here. We're ready to shoot. He's not going to provoke us. He's heading to periscope depth to see what's on the surface. What's his course now?
Course is 270, Captain. Due west.
Bring us alongside him.
Aye, aye, Captain.
All head 1/3.
Sonar con. Report all contacts.
Con sonar, my only contact is Typhoon 7 bearing 195.
And this relates to the thing that Sean brought in earlier, and was specifically he wanted to make this happen. It's the thing of what's the character of the submarine captain we meet.
We'll play along.
I mean, from hindsight, I see he was absolutely right to push that. Because so much depends on Scott Glenn's character. Is he a cowboy or will he take a chance?
Weapon status?
Weapons are armed. Tubes 3 and 4 are flooded, but outer doors are closed.
So you're flying set depth 25 meters.
Land control, depth 25 meters.
Zero up.
Mark this bearing.
Wanted to talk to him, Mr. Ryan. There he is.
I think this little sequence works, all right. It's mechanics are followable, and you can keep track of what's going on. You notice that the Russian sub is all in blue, and the Americans is all in red.
If U.S. coast, you will be attacked.
Break.
If intention is other, will you discuss option?
Break.
Can he acknowledge with a single ping?
Yeah, he can. The question is, will he? Verify our range to target. One ping only.
See, Sean plays the dramatic line in the technology very well. You get the emotional import of it.
I'll be damned. Now what?
All right. If defection... A shot. No. Okay, where the hell are we? Someplace deep. Okay. Send him this.
It's an enormous amount of exposition in this scene.
Tell me one thing. You know he's going to go to starboard.
I didn't. I had a 50-50 chance I needed a break. Sorry.
Well, that's all right, Mr. Ryan. My Morse is so rusty, I may be sending dimensions on Playmate of the Month.
Is really very good here at carrying the emotional implications of this stuff.
Captain, I just give me a ping, Vasily. One ping only, please.
Aye, Captain.
All right. It's he and Sam working together to convince us that they're into some sort of conspiracy.
Might have to do that.
We must give this American a wide berth. Let us turn south.
Mr. Komarov.
Got a new course due south.
Yes, sir.
New post 180.
Viewing this project as a writing problem, this was one of the hardest things was to telegraph. The reactor accident. So that the audience had it.
Sealed ventilation system. The ventilation.
Had enough clues beforehand that everything isn't what it seems. And you can tell from the way that the chief conspirators behave that they're lying about something.
Ventilation system, shut it down now.
They don't respond. The controls don't respond.
Then bypass it, seal it manually. Move!
Shut it off! Come on!
Now we can stay again.
Suffered a leak in the primary coolant tube. So shut down the reactor, but the ventilation circuits have been disabled.
And of course, Tim Curry is terribly important. And he, again, his slightly silly manner is important for. He's the foil. He's the guy they have to sell the story to.
Prepare to ventilate!
Ventilate, he won't do anything. We gotta get the man.
What is the battery condition?
4 hours. Six, if we're cautious.
Engage battery system.
Captain, we've got a level one radiation leak. Every surface of the ship is contaminated. Simply changing the air won't do. We've got to get the men off. Sir, we have been sabotaged.
Who said anything about sabotage?
Captain!
Sir, I'm afraid the doctor is right.
There you are. Surface. We'll evacuate the men to the deck.
Aye, Captain. Service the ship.
Service the ship, aye.
Prepare the master off personnel.
Funny, seeing this, again, from the distance of not having seen it for years. This is a very complicated, dramatic setup of understanding that the two conspirators in the middle are trying to get the crew off, not that they're in the least worried about the reactor. And I really can't tell, I can't guess what an audience who hasn't seen it before, what they make of it. What do they think is going on? Now, I shot all this in Los Angeles Harbor at dawn. Several dawns.
Doctor, you must get the entire crew out.
Yes, sir.
Master at arms reports.
The problem is, even in Los Angeles, even in the placid Pacific, after about 3 hours, everyone is suffering from seasickness. And before you're physically sick with seasickness, your brain goes away. It becomes impossible to do film work. So that somebody like Sean Connery, who, when we did this particular scene, Sean's the most precise man in the world. He never forgets a line, never forgets a word. After 3 hours out on the boat, he was flubbing lines constantly until we had to just quit because he couldn't remember his lines. It made it very tricky. We learned that that on water, you really can only work with either actors or a crew for about 2.5 hours. No such thing as shooting a whole day. You won't get any work done.
A shot across his bow. Come right.
That's Shane Black, the writer. There. It's a mythic thing in the film industry about the films that have trouble shooting on water. And I don't think people realize that the real problem is debilitating the personnel by seasickness. It's not actually that it's so difficult to shoot on the water. Well, that particular morning, I drenched 3 Panavision cameras. It's probably $100,000 worth of damage. And I didn't have any choice. I just kept shooting. I said, get another camera, let's go. And I had to call the studio and say, whoops, boss.
Release on my command. Drop. Now. Now, now. Range to target, 900 yards. 800 yards. 700 yards. 600 yards.
It's interesting. Here's a way that the movie is... Maybe the movie isn't dated, but our perception of the movie is dated.
400 yards. 300 yards.
It was kind of important at the time, and I was privately proud of myself to have arranged this circumstance where a good-looking professional white guy is taking orders from a black man, and it's never mentioned. And there's no question that the black guy has the authority, and everybody just salutes and says, yes, sir. And in the 10 years since, now I don't think we'd even notice it, which is a good thing.
How's the coffee, Ryan?
Dallas, this is the Mystic. Request clearance for launch.
Mystic, Dallas, you're clear for launch.
Hatch is secured.
Now, the guy in the background there actually is the captain of one of these little submarines.
Skirts filled and equalized. Soft seal, ready to lift off.
Okay, let's do it.
We're off.
Thrusting forward.
Yards in closing.
Roger, steer right to course 075.
400. Yards. 100 yards. 100 yards.
Now, the guy on the right is actually, as I said, the captain of one of these little research subs. That's what they look like. They're techies. Those are his big glasses. And that guy's got, I don't know, 2 doctorates in hydrodynamic engineering or something, but... they don't look like big warriors. They're skilled technicians, and they're scientists, all of them.
All right.
This line coming up about, do you want to bet your life on it? Larry Ferguson came up with it. And
you willing to bet your life on that?
I'm very fond of it. I'm very fond of the moment. I like how quietly and realistically Scott played that thing of, are you willing to bet your life on it? Now, here we come up on another silly dramatic technical thing of, we've had the Americans speaking English and the Russians speaking English for two-thirds of the movie. And now they wind up in the same place, and you got to deal with it again. And that's how I did it, was I suddenly jump right back. And particularly, it had to be a man that we'd seen speaking English earlier. That actor is actually Russian. Did serve in the Russian military. Now, again, in a minute, we transition back to English. I'd been using the trying to seed in the thing of that Alec didn't smoke, and people keep asking him, do you want a cigarette? No thanks, don't smoke. To set up this moment here.
Пожалуйста.
And now we come to the cowboy business.
Смотри, позеленел чудак. Вольно?
Каков-нибудь покажу. So funny.
It took us a while to figure out a word that would, in our theoretical Russian, still be understandable.
You are Russian.
Немного.
And here's our next transition. Back into English.
It is.
Sean demonstrates out of pride that he.
I doubt you remember.
He, of course, knows how to speak English.
Along with your wife. I'm very sorry.
What gives you the right to fire on my ship? Your signal said nothing of a torpedo.
Ryan? It was necessary to maintain the illusion for your crew.
My crew are being rescued, yes?
As we speak.
You sent the signal.
That's correct, sir.
Then how did you know our reactor accident was false?
Well, that was a guess, but it seemed logical.
Seeing this, I'm very proud of the Paramount executives that I worked for. It's a wildly complicated plot.
The ballistic missile submarine Red October. My officers and I request asylum in the United States of America.
It's a pleasure, sir.
And that obviously was a thematic shot.
Torpedo.
As I probably said in the interview associated with this.
Where the hell did it come from?
I always viewed this as a story about the ending of the Cold War. You know, it's in effect a story about a peace treaty.
And reload both tubes.
Melican, get me power. Get that damn thing off my boat.
It's off.
Hey, I think somebody just shot a torpedo.
Oh, shit, get the hell out of here.
Wait, where am I?
Done by you.
Capitan Bayou! Capitan Bayou!
Borogen, fire control. Ryan, sit here.
I'm not a naval officer. I'm with the CIA.
CIA?
Well, I'm not an agent. I just write books for the CIA.
Oh, whatever. Sit down. And do exactly what I tell you.
DSRV's away. There's a Russian Alpha about 8,000 yards to starboard.
Captain, I think it's a Konevalov. Increase the flank.
Increase the flank. How?
That knob, turn right, full.
Now, this is... It seemed part of the premise that the young man going off to sea in this story had to eventually get to drive the submarine.
High speed cruise, torpedo in the water, bearing 315.
You know, we're asking Alec to carry some of the he's functioning as comic relief here, practically.
You're right till this reaches 315.
No, that's wrong.
Ryan, don't turn that goddamn wheel. 315.
Again, this is part of the peace treaty. In effect, the American officer takes the instructions of the Russian officer.
Yes.
Doing what? He's turned right into the torpedo's path.
What?
Red October's turned directly into the torpedo's path, sir.
Mother of God.
Torpedo steady bearing 315. Range 5,000 yards.
Melican, more speed.
Negative. We're already running 110%.
Then give me 115%.
Estimate range 3,000 yards. Closing awfully fast.
He's headed right into the torpedo. What's he trying to do, kill himself?
Dobson, we have a firing solution on the Russian Alpha. Can we shoot back?
They didn't shoot at us. I can't attack a Soviet submarine without authorization.
Torpedo bearing steady at 315. Best range, 900 yards.
Torpedo impact, 20 seconds.
What books?
Pardon me?
What books did you write?
I wrote a biography of it.
Alec is great in this.
Notice.
Torpedo impact.
I mean, this is plain old-fashioned, you know, sort of John Ford comic relief in the middle of the battle.
7, 6, 5, 4.
The chief sonarman is an actor named Courtney Vance. He's, I think he's done an awful lot of things since, but at the time he'd only done Broadway shows. I saw him in a Broadway show called Fences with James Earl Jones. And I convinced him to do. He didn't like the idea of acting in movies, but he came along, and I guess he had a decent time.
Not quite. Right now, Captain Tupolev is removing the safety features on all his weapons. He won't make the same mistake twice. Vasily, have you plotted the solution yet?
Then it's a little rough, but I...
Gunfire?
That's what it sounded like, sir.
Won't change his mind, huh, Ryan?
It's got to be one of the crew!
Well, whoever he is, I'd say he's having second thoughts.
Captain! He stumbled forward into the missile bay. We're showing a silo hatch warning. Port side, number 20.
He can't launch a missile.
No, but he can blow one up. Captain, take the con.
Fire control's blasted to hell.
Then get in behind him and stay there.
Captain, wait.
You may need this, sir.
Thank you.
Don't just stand there, Ryan. Go with him.
You speak English?
Yes, sir.
Get your butt over here.
This sequence is shamelessly melodramatic.
Safety range is set for zero now. Captain, I cannot go any faster.
We must get him before he gets to the ignition circuits.
What happens if he makes it to that ignition circuitry?
He can incinerate the ship.
That door the only way out of here?
Yes.
Don't let me get past you.
Hey, Ryan. Be careful what you shoot at. Most things in here don't react too well to bullets.
Right.
Now, this is the only place we start talking about nuclear weapons, or at least showing them and making. I had a theory that nuclear weapons are not entertaining, and so I tried very hard never to concentrate on it during the story. It only shows up at the end.
He's going deep.
30-degree down angle.
5,000 kilos pumped up.
All the countermeasures were over there, right?
Dive.
Very well.
Came up with a thing of throughout the sequence he's imitating Sean and he's making fun of Sean. I think he had a lot of fun doing it. Here he is.
Ryan, some things in here don't react well to bullets. Yeah, like me. I'll react well to bullets.
Where's he now, Jonesy?
Close, sir.
900 meters. Directly ahead.
Got him. Max bearings on fire.
They're too close. Compassionate.
Don't argue with me. Launch the weapon.
The torpedoes are armed in the tubes, Captain. He can't...
Shoot now! Another torpedo, Captain. It went active the moment it was launched. It's quiet us and his homie.
Left full rudder. He's off in your bow planes.
Yes, sir.
I think he's got us.
Very hard to make them. The geography understandable in this.
Torpedo is an acquisition. Range 500 yards in closing. You've done it, Mr. Thompson.
I hope to Christ this works. All right, Chief. Put us on the roof.
Countermeasure station.
So much of it is dependent on geography. It's probably a... that's the basic problem of the film, of how do you take a conflict that exists in a cerebral dimension and make it physical. I don't know. Make it physical so that you could photograph it.
Why?
Now, that was a real Navy sub really doing that.
That torpedo's still active. It's searching for another target now.
I haven't seen that sequence in a long time. Actually, I like the way Alec did it, that to actually get the sense of the hardness in him of realizing he's going to have to kill this man. Or he's going to have to do it in cold blood.
We're turning straight at him. Torpedo's still on our tail.
The hard part about playing chicken is knowing when to flinch.
Collision in 400 yards, 350. 300!
I think if I try to do this project again, I try to invent some sort of...
Aye, sir.
This one's gotta be close.
...visual dimension that... Or some way to picture the physical submarines that wasn't necessarily... based on regular underwater light. You know, if it was infrared or... I don't know, some sort of computer visualization based on sonic waves or something. I think it would work better.
We have ascertained the Red October's final position, but given the depth of the water and the fact that the wreckage is spread out over such a wide area, it'll be some time before anything is recovered. However, your people are interviewing the crew now and making arrangements for their return. This has been a terrible tragedy, Mr.
There's a good joke that Joss Auckland does in this scene. It's the last couple of shots.
I appreciate your candor in the matter.
And I yours, Andre.
Perhaps in the future the technology will be available for a more thorough investigation of the wreckage.
Perhaps.
There is another matter. One that I'm reluctant to.
Please.
Here.
One of us.
See what's in his hand.
Was last reported in the area of the Grand Banks. We've not heard from her for some time.
We never saw him come in wearing a hat. It's all just based on this last shot here of him sitting there literally hat in hand as a way to say to wrap up the entire Russian government. It's just the single silly picture of hat in hand.
All this way to hide a submarine in a river.
We're 100 miles from the nearest naval base. The last place that satellites will ever look. I grew up around here. My grandfather took me to fish up that island right over there.
I remember we caught a lot of flack on this sequence for the fact that it was so intensely blue.
Well, I figured you would tell me when you were ready.
Now, there are those who believe we should attack the United States first.
It's funny, I think actually it works. It certainly works at television resolution. I'm not sure it works as well on a big screen.
In Moscow.
Perhaps. Maybe some good will come from it. A little revolution now and then. It's a healthy thing, don't you think?
Larry Ferguson and I work for quite a while to come up with this. Larry wrote the poem that Sean quotes at the end.
There's a river, not unlike this one, near Vilnius, where my grandfather taught me to fish. And the sea will grant each man new hope, as sleep brings dreams of home. Christopher Columbus.
Obviously, Christopher Columbus never wrote anything like that, but the gimmick works. Thank you for your time. I'm John McTiernan.